Well, all right, this is one of those days in the life of a church, the body of Christ, that I want us all to remember. This is our first time since I've been here to do a child dedication, so I want to take the time to really explain what a child dedication is and understand why it is really a commitment on the part of the parents to raise their child in a godly way. And it is a commitment on the body of Christ to dedicate ourselves to helping them. To helping them do that by praying for them, supporting them, and doing whatever we can in order to help them lead, in this case, Kinley, to Jesus Christ. So I'm thrilled that everybody came today. This is a time when we need, you know, unfortunately we have the church covenant covered over this morning. If you read that church covenant, it talks about the obligations that we have to each other as members. It talks about the obligations that we have to each other's kids. You know, and we need to understand a couple of things as we get started this morning. First of all, the Bible teaches us that children are a gift from God. Period, end of story. Children are a gift from God. Psalm 127:3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from God. The fruit of the womb is a reward." And that word heritage means inheritance. It talks about something that's given. And so from God's perspective, Jesus says that we are to bring the little children. We are encouraged to bring them to Him. They are a blessing. They are a blessing each and every moment. We were dealing with the revival last night. Someone came up to me. She said, "Sorry for the disruption." I said, "What disruption?" And apparently there had been a minor little disagreement between parent and child, which I didn't even notice. I was just thrilled the kids were there, you know. And that's the way we need to be. Bring them. We need to be encouraged with them. They are a blessing no matter what they do. Even when I can name how I got each one of these gray hairs. I can tell you which incident in this boy's life caused these gray hairs, okay? And I bet you might be able to do that too. But children are still a blessing. They are a reward. But like with all blessings, God says, I've got a way that I want you to handle it. I've got a way that I want you to use this blessing that I have given to you. And He says, with your children, there's one specific thing I want you to know. And this verse says this. He says, "Train up a child in the way that they should go. And when she is old, she will not depart from it." Train up a child in the way that he or she should go. This is God's overall command to us. We're supposed to teach them the Bible. We're supposed to teach them Scripture. We're supposed to teach them math. We're supposed to teach them science. We're supposed to teach them all of these things. But most of all, and most importantly in life, we are to teach them the principles of God. We are to teach them how to live a godly life. And we are to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And God has a special blessing when we give our children back to Him. And that's what I want to talk about today. This is what a child dedication is. It's giving your child back to God. We realize, first of all, that if children are a gift from God, where did they come from? From God. If you get a gift from your parents, you got the gift, but your parents gave it to you, right? So we need to understand that children come from God, and He says, I want you to take special care of these people. I want you to take special care of these little minds and these little hearts and these little bodies, and I want you to pray for them. And He says, I want you, if you really want to be blessed, I want you to give them back to me. Lead them to me. Give them to me. And there's a couple of stories in the Bible I want to talk to you about. The most famous one we get is the story of Elkanah and Hannah from 1 Samuel. Hannah was upset. She could not have children. Her husband loved her, but she could not have children. So one day they go to the temple. And she is up there. She's laying her heart open before the Lord. The priest Eli is there. And Eli sees this woman sobbing and just she's all broken up. She's crying. And he thinks that she's been drinking. So he goes up and confronts her. He says, what are you doing? She lays her heart out to him. And she says, I want to have a son. I want to have a son. And if I do, if God will bless me this way, I will give my son back to him. So in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, it says this, she made a vow. This was her vow. O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. That was Hannah's vow. Eli heard that. He understood. He talked with Hannah about God and God's will for her life and God's way of working. And Hannah left that meeting comfortable that God's will would be done. She didn't know at that moment if he would give her a son or not. But she left knowing that her life was in the hands of an all-loving, all-caring God. And God opened her womb. He did give her a male child. They named him Samuel. And the eighth day came. See, the eighth day was the typical day that the good Jew would take the child to the temple to be dedicated. Hannah said, I'm not ready to do that yet. I know what that says, but I want to make sure that I can dedicate him fully to the Lord. I want to let him get a little bit older. I'm going to let him get older where he's completely weaned, where I can dedicate him and give him back to the Lord. So she waited. She raised that boy. She prayed for that boy. And then he got old enough, just like Kenley's old enough today. He got old enough, and they go back, and there's the priest Eli. And Hannah comes up and says, hey, you remember me? I was the woman you thought was drunk. I was the woman you prayed with. I was the woman that you blessed. And you said that God's will would be done in my life. And now it's happened. He's given me a male child. And I swore a vow to him that if he gave me that male child, I would give that child back to him. In 1 Samuel 26, she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, I'm the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore, I have also lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped God there. So Elkanah and Hannah, they physically gave their child Samuel back to God. He was a gift from God. They understood that. They wanted him to be used mightily by God, and they wanted him to be in God's will. So there's three principles I want to tell you about today. The first one's pretty obvious. It is children are to be given back to God. You know, in today's society, there's something called pedestal parenting. You may have heard that phrase. We tend to put children on a pedestal. For a long time, I was known as Isaiah's dad. Nobody knew my name. Anybody like that? Your children? You know, we all are known by our kids. What do? But God says, I want you to teach them. You need to teach them to be servants. You need to teach them to be useful. You need to teach them to be used by me. And we can think about another story in the Bible, the story of Abraham and Isaac. You want to talk about giving your child back to God? You know, God had promised Abram that he was going to be blessed through the fruit of he and Sarah's womb, that Sarah was going to have a baby when she's over 90 years old. And, you know, this went on and nothing happened. And, all you know, Abraham, he's getting worried it's not going to happen. We know the compromise that they made. That they go in with Hagar. That haunts us to today. But God kept his faithfulness. God gave Sarah a child, Isaac. And Isaac was to be the one through whom all the nations of the world would be blessed. So many people would be blessed through Isaac that it would be more than the stars of the sky or the sands of the sea. through Isaac, all of those people would be blessed. And Abram's good with that, isn't he? And boy, when Isaac was born, he was it. Capital IT. You know, he was everything that Abraham wanted him to be at this point. And then God says to him, I want you to take that boy up to Mount Moriah. I'm going to show you where that's going to be. And I want you to offer him to me. Remember, this is Abraham's only hope as he sees it. This is the one that God has promised him, and God is calling him physically to give Isaac back to him. Why is God doing that? God's doing that to see where Abraham's faith was. You see, we're not to put our children on such a pedestal that God still doesn't come first. That's the story of Abraham and Isaac. We know that story. Abraham got up like that. He took off. He traveled 3 days. He goes to Mount Moriah. He and the boy are walking up the hill, carrying all the firewood and everything. And Isaac goes, Dad, did you forget something? No. We don't have a sacrifice. What do you think? What Abraham's thinking? Well, we do have a sacrifice. But he said, God will provide. And God did, right? You remember the story. Abraham is going to go through it. He's laid out the altar. He's got the fire going. Isaac's up there. He is in the process. He's raising the knife because the Lord God has told him to do this. Give me back Isaac. And that hand starts to come down and the angel says, stop. And he stops his hand. And he says, because God has seen that you were willing to give him back your only son, the child of promise, you will be honored. And then here comes this ram. Oh, there's a ram stuck in the thicket. God provided. Isn't that amazing how he does that? But the point of that story for us today is that Abraham was willing, ready, and in the process of giving his son back to God, from whom he received him, he knew that he was a gift of God. He knew that God would never let him die completely. In fact, when he told, as he left his servants at the foot of the mountain, he said, we're going to go up here and we will be back. He had faith. But he was willing to put his faith in God as number one, above the physical love, above the family love that he had for that child. He was willing to do God's will. And that's what a dedication of a child is about. It is really about the parents today saying, we want God's will for Kinley's life. We want God's will for Kinley's life, even if it's not what our plans for her may be. A dedication of a child says, God, I want your will and your purpose in their lives, regardless of what I want them to grow up to be, regardless of where I think they're going to go to college, regardless of the fact I've already bought them the UT sweatshirt, regardless of the fact that I have... Nobody laughed at the UT joke. Come on, people. Wake up. Regardless of the fact that I've already arranged their marriage, whatever it may be, I want your will for them. It is to exchange your wishes and your wants for them for God's will. And we seek first the kingdom of God, and all the blessings that we have will be added unto us. So God basically tells us this. He says, you know what? I gave you this child. They call you parent. I call you a steward. I call you a caretaker of this young life that I've given you. And boy, I want you to take care of it. I want you to train her up like she is going to be devoted to me. I want you to train her up that way. And when she's old, she will not depart from it. It is an awesome responsibility to be that kind of steward. You guys know, if you're parents or grandparents, you know how awesome that is. And people think, well, you know, I'm just a parent. Oh, my. What an awesome responsibility you have. As grandparents, as fellow church members to each of these little kids that we deal with every single day. We had a wonderful little girl last night. She sat up front row with me. And I know that at least one person heard this revival. Here's what she said to me. Came down, she goes, can I tell you something? I said, well, sure. She said, while you were preaching, I was thinking about teeth. I'm like, okay. I did not preach anything about teeth. And she said, you know, Jesus is kind of like teeth. And I have no clue where this is going. She said, you know, the baby teeth are like when you first believe in Jesus. Okay. And she said, you know, when they get loose, it's like you're growing and you're maturing. They're getting ready to become those big permanent teeth. I only got one of those right now. But she said, it wiggled and it came out. And then I had a permanent tooth, and that's going to be my ever life with Jesus. I said, Sally, can I use that tomorrow? She said, sure. Yeah, she didn't care. But isn't that awesome? But you know what happened? She didn't get that from my sermon. She got that from being raised in a home where they talked about the Bible. She got that by being raised where God was something that could be related to teeth. Okay? I would have never thought about that. But I'm gonna write that down when I get home, make sure I got it right, and keep using it. But that's how awesome it was to hear a young mind. And she sang out just like Charlie does up here. She sang out. And I'm sitting beside her, and she couldn't hear me, and I could hear her. That was a good combination. But that's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to train them up, not just teach them. We're supposed to train them. How do you train somebody? You train them by being an example. You train them by showing them what's important to you. You train them by doing things that you want them to do. And here's the second principle that God wants us to do. He wants us to pass on to these little ones a passion to love Him. Not just knowledge, not just book knowledge, not just fact knowledge. He wants us to pass on a desire to love Him and to follow Him. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. All the way back in the Old Testament. God's going to talk to us about how He wants us to train up these kids. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. He says, you, He's talking to the parents here. He's telling us about the kids, but He's talking to the parents first. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Then in verse 6, He says, and these words which I command you today, remember those words He just commanded them, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. So think about the command He gives. He says, first, if you're going to train up a child in the right way, there's got to be something in your heart first. He says, you, parents, have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. You can't train up your parents, your children, in the way that they should go until you do that, because you're not training them right. When you have that love of God in your heart, in your soul, when everything that you have is devoted to God, then you're ready to train the parents. Sorry, I keep saying that. You're ready to train the kids. So that's the first thing. It has to be in our hearts. And then we have to be diligent about it. We have to be intentional about it. We have to think about, when are we going to train them? Well, the Bible answers that question. Look back at those verses. You're going to talk about them when you sit down, when you walk, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Is there any time that you're alive that we have not just covered? There's not. Those are those four. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. You're going to put them in front of your face. You're going to put things in front of your children that encourage them to believe and teach them how to believe and respond to Jesus Christ. So the point is, you're going to love God more than you love that kid, because when you get the love of God right, that relationship that you have with your child will be right. If you're pedestal parenting, or if you're putting them on a pedestal above what Jesus is, your relationship with them will not be right. We need to understand that we have the privilege of loving them and training them, but that God has entrusted us with a task. And we as parents have a job. And that job is to train them up. It is to give them an example. What you value, your children will value. How you spend your time, they will spend their time. How you react in a crisis is how they will react in a crisis. We've all had examples of our kids picking up something from us that we had no clue we probably ever did. Where did they learn that word? I don't know. Where did he learn to say that? I don't know. And you're going, oh, okay. One time in the car, maybe. You know, you just never know what they pick up. But how we act is going to be how they act. We have to stay at it. And training them up, we need to bring them to church. We need to bring them to church, sometimes kicking and screaming. But we need to bring them to church. Sometimes they need to bring us to church kicking and screaming, but they need to bring us to church too. And we need to understand that we're letting them understand who God is. We're letting them understand that we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we trust in Him. When we lay them down to bed at night, when we tuck them into bed and say their prayers at night and help them say their prayers, we need to mean it. We need to be down on our knees too. We need to be down there with them. We need to be praying. They need to see us pray. They need to see us read the Bible. They need to see us worship. They need to see us in this building. They need to see us sharing our testimony with others. They need to see us talking about God each and every minute where it's normal. You know, it's not some special event that we have to have at our house to talk about God. We can talk about God anytime. Drive down the street. All right? So the third thing I want to cover with you today is that giving our children back to God is a commitment to raise them under the Lordship of Christ. To raise them under the Lordship of Christ. Ephesians 6:4 tells us that we are to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is a commitment by the parents that they will bring their children up, pointing them towards Jesus Christ. Who else is going to point them to Jesus Christ today? Is it going to be done in the schools? Probably not. It can be done in church, and it should be done in church, obviously, but it's not going to work in their lives if they don't see it real in their parents' lives. That's going to be something they see on Sundays only. That's not going to work. We need to point them at all times to Jesus Christ. Joshua is getting ready to enter the promised land, and he's talking to the people. He's telling them about how they're going to live their lives when they cross over. And he says this in Joshua 24, "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that were served on the other side of the river in the lands that you dwelt. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It is an intentional commitment on your part as parents to serve God and to point the young folks in your life, grandkids, nieces, nephews. It doesn't apply just to kids, to biological children, adopted kids, foster kids, whatever. Any child you come in contact with, we have an obligation to point them to Jesus Christ in each and every way we can. And as a church, that's the parents' obligation. As a body of Christ, we are part of that family. You know? We are one body with Eric and Kayla. We are one body with that family, and we are to support them. We are to pray for them. We are to uphold them. We are to encourage them. And when we do this dedication, there will be a charge to the parents. And then I will give a charge to the church. If you are willing to take up your biblical obligation to support and pray for them, when I ask you that, I want you to stand up and I want you to say amen. That is what our obligation is. We should be praying for each other constantly anyway. But today I'm going to charge you to pray for Eric and Kayla. So as we turn to our dedication, the very first thing we want to do, they've put together a wonderful video celebrating Kenley's life. And remember, we're here to dedicate Kenley, but it's Eric and it's Kayla that are making the commitment. It's you that are making the commitment. So I want you to watch this video. If you've got tissues, get them out. It is wonderful. Isn't that awesome? Awesome. Yeah, we need to be thankful for God today, to God today for all that He's done. You can see what He's done in that little life back there. Yeah. So, guys, you come up. Eric, Kayla, family, come on. All right, as I told you folks, the dedication, this is really about Eric and Kayla bringing their child this morning to give her back to God. They know she's a gift from God, and now they're giving her back officially. They've already given her back. We see it every day. They bring her to church. We know what they do, but this is the official recognition that they're doing it. So Eric and Kayla, I have charges for you this morning. Do you recognize Kenley as a gift from God and give heartfelt thanks for his blessing every day? Yes. All right. Do you dedicate Kenley today to the Lord who gave her to you? No. Do you pledge as a parent that you will bring her up in the nurturing and the admonition of the Lord? Do you promise to give her every possible benefit of church, of family, of school that you can give her? Do you pledge to pray for God to prosper her life? Do you promise to set a Christian example before her so that as she grows up, she sees you honoring God? And do you promise and pledge to do all that you can to bring her into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Right. You've heard it. That is their testimony. That is their dedication. Church, if you are willing to join with them, as we've talked about in dedicating Kenley today and dedicating your support, your love, your support for this family, please stand. Church, I charge you. Do you, as members of this local body of believers and part of the body of Christ, agree to join these parents in praying for Kenley? To join these parents in raising her in the admonition and nurturing of the gospel? In giving her Christian examples? In praying for and supporting them as they try to fulfill their vows made before God today? If you do that as a church body, please say amen. 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 All right, guys, stand up here just a minute. Let's pray for them. I want you to come up and hug them, whatever you want to, whatever they're willing to do, you know. Slap hands, fist bump, whatever it is. But let's pray first of all. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this life that's now dedicated to your love and care. We've seen your hand in her life already for these 5 years plus. We pray that your mercies will continue to follow her all the days of her lives. Pray that you bless these parents and help them to remain faithful to the commitments and promises that they've just made. Pray that you would help each one of us honor the commitment we just made to help them, to pray for them, and to bless them in a meaningful way. Father, we pray that your Son be glorified, your Son who said, "Allow the little children to come to me." It takes the faith of a child to enter heaven. Father, I pray that you would bless this child, that you would bless her with the faith to trust in you forever and ever. And Lord, I thank you that these parents have been willing to come forward today to make their dedication known before you and before this church body. And Father, I thank you for this body. I pray that we all pray and support Kenley, Kendall, the whole family, Vivian, grandparents, Karen, everybody. Lord, I just pray that we always be a support for them. I thank you for this opportunity that we have to witness dedication of parents. Father, I pray that you bless them and keep them safe. And this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And on behalf